They're tough. They're gritty. They play their tails off. That's an unbelievable win. I mean, we just did something that was, I mean, that's unbelievable. We just shocked the world, and couldn't happen to a better bunch of guys, a better bunch of fans, the family, the whole thing. So we are ecstatic. Unbelievable. We're going to stay in Columbus. I love it.
That was the head coach of Fairleigh Dickinson, Tobin Anderson. He is now the head coach of Iona. That move official today, so congrats to Anderson for that. To the victor goes the spoils. I was there for that in Columbus, Nationwide Arena, watching FDU upset Purdue. It was one of the rare times I lost a bet and didn't care. I had Purdue as part of a moneyline parlay, and FDU ruined it with the win. But it didn't matter to me because I got to see a 16-1 in an NCAA tournament game in person. That was cool stuff. But now here's the downside of it. Now I'm going to New York for the Sweet 16, the Elite Eight, and Purdue isn't going to be there. Florida Atlantic is there instead, and that's a lot less romantic and way less interesting. So there's a downside to Cinderella once Cinderella actually happens, but I'll take it. Between that result and the near buzzer beater from Florida Atlantic in the next game, that was a really good atmosphere and a really excellent night of college basketball. Glad to be a part of it. I am Tim Benz. This is the Pittsburgh CityCast brought to you by Bet Rivers. Download the app today or go online to BetRivers.com. Bet now from anywhere, but think long and hard before you do it, because this tournament has been a bloodbath for me after outlandish success that I had in championship week. My picks are a mess. My brackets are a mess. I have two futures bets out with Purdue making the Final Four and Kansas winning it all. Those two are done. Those were pre-first round bets that I made. I also made a futures bet for Houston to win the whole thing in February. And given how injured the Cougars are, I have no faith that one's actually going to pan out. So I hedged there and put a bet in on Texas to win in case the Cougars don't from that region. I still think one of those two will escape from that part of the bracket in the Midwest. And I got Bama to make the Final Four. I have a futures bet too, and I certainly still feel confident about that. Everything else has been a disaster. I lost over-unders by half a point. I lost covers by a point. I lost parlays on huge upsets like Purdue and Princeton and Furman, things like that. So it's truly been a case of March sadness for me, but it doesn't ruin how much I love the tournament. As far as games go this week in New York, I was inclined to pick Michigan State, but then I saw they're giving 2 points. I don't like that at all, not after what Kansas State did to Kentucky, so I might stay away from that bet. Tennessee laying 5 over Florida Atlantic doesn't seem too steep for me. What I wanted to do there was go under, and then I saw it was 130. Wow, that is low. I may be spooked off of that result. I might go with a straight parlay on Houston and Texas on Friday, but I may tease up the points in favor of Miami and Princeton. Both of those spreads seem meaty to me at 7.5 toward Miami versus Houston and 9.5 toward Princeton versus Creighton. So the underdogs I like on the spreads, and I don't even know about Princeton versus Creighton. I might take Princeton outright there and just try to hit a home run with the money line. But, you know, if they're going to give you 9, take the 9. And like I said, that's a tight putt if I'm going to take Houston over Miami, but I want the points for Miami. I might just, like I said, do a teaser there between Princeton and Miami and try to get the number up in my favor. In Texas versus Xavier, I like the over, and I like Texas straight. So those are some of the bets I'm considering for this weekend in March Madness. But let's get to hockey. And while I've lost some money on March Madness, here's how I have avoided losing money this week: by not betting on the Penguins. That's how. That's a big no-no right now. Bet against the Penguins. That's been a cash flow of late. That's been a cash cow. Bet on the Penguins team goal total under. That's been making you money over the last 3 games too. Been raking in the bucks. I mean, for all the complaints about the big three not getting any help, Evgeny Malkin has 1 goal in March, Sidney Crosby has no goals in 5 games, and Chris Letang hasn't registered a point in the last 3 games. And oh, by the way, the Penguins lost their last 3 games while scoring just 3 goals in the process. The Florida Panthers have leapfrogged the Pens in the division into the second wildcard spot. That's the team you want to bet on, by the way, Florida. They've won 3 in a row and 6 of 7, and if you like betting overs in hockey, 4 of their last 5 games have been in excess of 6 goals. But before we get into some Steelers conversation, I do want to talk more puck with Brian Metzer of the Pittsburgh Penguins Radio Network, who joins us just about every week here to talk about the Pens. And we try to figure out this week, like we do just about every week, what's going on with the Penguins. Can they right the ship? Currently in ninth place and out of a playoff spot with 12 games to play, trailing Florida by 1 point in the East. Here's Metz trying to make heads or tails of that with me. Metz, this has become quite the conundrum for the Penguins when it looked like they had righted the ship to the point where you could at least feel good about their playoff chances coming down the home stretch. They've managed to fritter away any of that momentum and positioning, and now here they are on the outside looking in.
Yeah, a lot can happen in just a couple of weeks, right, Tim? I mean, when you look at this scenario, not only have they lost four in a row, but they've only won three of their last, what is it, nine, I think. So, I mean, that's not very good when they had that little stretch of 7-1-1. It's funny how those streaks can be flipped quickly the other way, and that's what happened here. And a lot of it is due to lack of awareness in the defensive zone, some shoddy goaltending, and then even when they get an outstanding goaltending performance, they kind of leave their goaltender hanging because they've only been able to score seven goals in their last four games, which to me is just a head scratcher because they are getting a ton of shots. However, you're not really making the life of the goaltender all that difficult. Yes, there were some grade A chances. The Penguins had a number of really quality grade A type high danger chances last night in the game, but they weren't the kind where you get traffic and you get second and third chances and you take away the goaltender's eyes and make him really work for it. I would say the toughest save of the night probably came in the first period when the kid had to come across and make a great leg save on Jake Guentzel on a one-timer on a power play.
Metz, as I look at the forecast here for the Pens, they've got two tough games coming up against the Avs and against the Dallas Stars, playoff teams in the West. Florida, the team that just caught them and passed them for the last playoff spot, not only are they red hot right now, but they've also got some pretty easy competition. Although I will say this, they do have two tough home games against the Rangers and Leafs, and then they go on the road for a good batch there. I think over the next seven games, the Panthers play away from Florida five times, or at least away from Miami five times. The two home games are tough. They've been up and down just like the Penguins have been. But I feel like they're on the ascent, whereas the Penguins, to say that they are spiraling right now might be an understatement.
Yeah, I would say you're right about that, Tim. I mean, the Penguins, for all of their good, which you can still point to Sid and Gino having great offensive years for their age and kind of trying to will the team to victory on most nights, but they're not getting the defense that they need. Their goaltending, like I said, has been really asunder. It's been a really tough spot for them all. And when you look at a team like Florida, they have really turned things around for themselves. They're 7-2-1 in their last 10. They've won three in a row. And when they are winning these games, they're doing it in pretty effective fashion. Yeah, they let up five goals to the Montreal Canadiens, who are really upstart at this point. I mean, they beat the Penguins recently. But the Panthers did nothing but go out and score nine against them in that game. And then they've scored nine combined goals in their last two wins against the New Jersey Devils and the Detroit Red Wings. So they're finding their offensive game finally. Sergei Bobrovsky is playing pretty effectively for them on the backside of it. And I think that as they get healthier, Sam Bennett missed some time. He's back in the lineup now. He's a very important player for them. Tkachuk is just all world for them, doing so much good work in terms of getting to the front of the net, scoring the dirty goals when they need them. So it's all kind of coming up roses at this point for the Florida Panthers, and that's why they are in the playoffs and the Penguins are not. And I heard a couple people write off the Senators. They're only six total points out of the wild card. I don't really have visions of them jumping up into the conversation, but if they can get goaltending, I think they could have a chance because that's been their biggest undoing. If you go back to the trade deadline, a lot of the Canadian journalists on the Trade Center show for TSN, and I may have mentioned this to you the other week, they were anointing them the team of destiny. They felt like Ottawa getting Jacob Chychrun and getting all those young goal scorers and all this pretty quality play coming from them was going to be a team that could jump into the playoff hunt. And unfortunately, Cam Talbot got hurt again, so that kind of derailed them. But the teams around the Penguins are not cooling off. The Islanders are doing their job, 6-3-1. And Florida, we just talked about. So Penguins have got to find a way to win. We looked at it, I think, Tim, on February 26th, and to get to roughly 96 points, which we were thinking might be the number to make the playoffs in the East, the Penguins were going to have to play 600 hockey. Well, they're barely a 500 team since then. They're essentially 5-5-1, if I'm not mistaken. And they're, for the season, just doing a point percentage click of 5-5-7. That's not good enough, and it's going to be tough to make the playoffs if they continue on this road.
Brian Metzer, Pittsburgh Penguins Radio Network, is our guest. To the point about Sid and Gino, they have had good years, but at the same time, they're not scoring right now. I think Sid's in a slump of five games, and Gino's had, what, one goal in March?
I think you're right about that. It's been
Gino's
really tough
getting
road.
Points, but it's, you know, not goal production. And the last couple of games, they've needed some.
Yeah. Those guys, and the shame of it is, that's the problem. I think one of the biggest problems with this team, Tim, is you don't have anybody to offset those many slumps for them. When they run into these situations where you go four or five games without a goal, or even more in the case of Gino, there's nobody in the bottom six cashing in right now. Because even when they are getting goals, it's still Ricard Raquel. It's maybe Brian Rust from time to time. Or it's, you know, a Jason Zucker cashing in. It's not the likes of Jeff Carter, Mikhail Granlund. Because the goal Granlund scored last week was a meaningless after an empty netter against the Florida Panthers. The Philadelphia Flyers. So they're not getting secondary scoring at all. They can't stop people from scoring. And even when they do hold a team in check like they did last night, they still can't outscore a 2-1 deficit. So, I mean, it doesn't speak to me as a team that has a very bright outlook with 12 games remaining in the season. This has got to be not the last year of Mike Johnston, I think, is the last time they were in this situation where they needed a win on the final night of the season, Tim, to make the playoffs.
Yeah, but other Florida than that, had the 2-0 shutout against the Sabres.
Yeah, and I really can't think of who was I think it was Anders Lindbäck in net for the Sabres that night too, and he was playing outstanding hockey. I just can't see a situation. Brandon Sutter scored both goals too, if I'm not mistaken. But I can't see a situation where with 12 games left, based on what we're seeing, that they're going to be in that situation. And even if they do squeak in, your reward is probably the Boston Bruins. And boy, isn't that a treat.
Also, we got to talk about the Pettersson loss and what that does to the blue line.
My gosh. Just looking at this past week in terms of the blue line, I mean, you were feeling better about it after the deadline, Tim, when they brought in Dmitry Kulikov, and then he goes out. Then Petrie goes out. Then you have a situation now where the Dragon goes out, Marcus Pettersson. So all of these guys being out of the lineup have forced you to now use Fadoon, Ruedel, Friedman, POJ playing probably more minutes than he should be. And so your top defensemen become Brian Dumoulin and Chris Letang, which 5 years ago would be great. Right now, it's not a good spot to be in. And when you're icing a largely AHL blue line, it doesn't put you in a good spot. And overall, though, we can't be super critical because against the Senators, I thought that group looked decent, even though they still gave up far too many odd man rushes and breakaways. But I think losing Marcus Pettersson may have been the final straw here, because he has had probably, in terms of their blue line, one of the best seasons that you could have envisioned from one of those guys. He really stepped up. I think he was chipping in offensively. He was not really exposing himself defensively as he had at times in the past, where he had baby deer leg syndrome, where sometimes you'd see him in front of the net and he'd just lose his footing and go down and they would score a goal against last season. That hasn't happened often this year. I thought he was pretty darn good. And taking him out of the mix now is just a killer. I mean, you can't even have the cap space truly, or the call-up availability. I think they only have two call-ups available to them, because after the trade deadline, you only have a finite amount of moves you're allowed to make. So they're in a spot where they have to rely on emergency recalls. Ty Smith is down there with facial fractures. He can't come up because he's hurt. You have to call up guys like Taylor Fadoon and Mark Friedman. And I just don't think those guys are primed and ready for the NHL, Tim. So this is a really, really bad situation for the Penguins in terms of their blue line. And stir in all the other issues that they have, it's not a fun situation to be in with 12 games remaining in the season.
And that's how many the Panthers have, too, by the way. Who's more likely to fade, the Panthers or the Islanders?
Oh, boy. You know what? At this point, it's hard to even say. I mean, they both have kind of turned themselves around to the extent of finding their post-trade deadline game. I mean, the Islanders – started to show signs that they were going to be decent after they acquired Bo Horvat, and they still were struggling a little bit. But when you see them now, I mean, we mentioned it, they're 6-3-1 in their last 10. They won two in a row. They're starting to score a little bit. They have a plus 12 goal differential now. Florida has these games where they're putting up 18 goals in a three-game stretch. So if their offense continues to perform like that, I think Bobrovsky alone could be enough to help you offset to just get into the playoffs. So the Penguins surprisingly have dropped to a minus 4 goal differential, which was a little bit of a shocking thing to see over the last week here.
Well, they were the only team in the NHL playoff bracket with the minus goal differential. They also had the fewest wins in regulation of any team that had been in a bracket position.
Yeah, and that's all things that are indictments of them, you know. So I, even if those teams slip a little bit, because both Florida and the Islanders, Tim, let the Penguins off the hook a lot this season with their dips. Whenever they would not play well and lose some hockey games, the Penguins took full advantage and kept themselves above water. But here, I mean, I just don't see it happening again. I mean, they might start to fall a little bit, but if the Penguins hover around this 500 mark that they have been over the last week, 2 weeks, I just don't really think that it's gonna work out for them. And it's very hard to be an optimist about them making the playoffs at this point based on what we've seen. Because when they've had these stretches where they drop four in a row this season, it doesn't often get stopped. They did stop a four-game losing streak when they got embarrassed by Edmonton. That was the fourth of a four-gamer and 5 out of 6. They turned it around with a win against St. Louis. Well, here you don't have St. Louis waiting in the wings. You have the Colorado Avalanche sitting there along with the Dallas Stars. So it's not like you have a patsy on the schedule in front of them. And these tend to turn into situations where they drop 5, 6, or 7 of 8, 7 of 9, that kind of thing. And if they continue this stretch and drop, you know, 2 of 3 this week, and truthfully, the Capitals may want to put a dagger in them on Saturday as well, Tim. So this could be a really tough spot. By week's end, they might be, you know, a few points removed from the wild card rather than sitting there on the cusp just one or so out.
And I don't think this is the kind of team that makes up ground in a hurry and eats up points when they're available. They've shown the propensity to gobble up a few and then puke them back up again. And I wrote earlier in the week that their poor play against the division has been emblematic of this, Mets, because, you know, if you look at it, largely there's good teams in the Metro. And if you look at what their record is, I think they only have like 2 wins or 3 wins against teams that are above them in the Metro, and that's what's going to keep them out of the playoffs eventually.
Yeah, they've struggled a lot this year, Tim, in terms of games against good teams in general. They just can't beat them.
Yeah,
you know?
the four teams in front of them, you know, there's something like 8, 9, and 5, I believe, in the Metro, but only of the, 2 of those wins, I believe, are against the Islanders, Devils, Rangers, and Hurricanes.
Yeah, you're right. The Metro record is 8, 9, and 5, and it's just they don't beat the good teams. And even if you count good teams that aren't in their division, they don't typically beat them, Tim. I mean, this has been a really bad year in that way, that the Penguins feasted on teams behind them, did not do so good against teams ahead of them. We looked at the numbers for that a few weeks ago, so they're not accurate now. But they were rather damning when you looked at that situation. And I think when you look at their schedule, they don't have enough bad teams on it to make a difference now, because you have Colorado and Dallas that are right there in the top class of the National Hockey League. Then, okay, you have a game against Wash, a game against Detroit. Nashville's kind of a tweener. They've played pretty well since they've made some changes. But then it's Boston. Philly's there, probably a win. But then you have the Devils and Minnesota. So, I mean, just with the 5 or 6 games that you have against top teams in the league, you could be in a tough spot. However, the schedule maker was nice enough to put Detroit, Chicago, and Columbus in their final 3. So that could, on paper, be 6 points, and 6 points could be a difference maker. I just think it's going to be too little too late at that point after you have to go up against those world-burning teams. And if they don't make hay and get a win or 2 or 3 against those top teams and maybe even go out and beat Boston, you could be in a really ugly spot here. So I think it just speaks to where they have been all season long. They have given up the most goals that they ever have under Mike Sullivan this season, which has been something that was an eyebrow raiser for me. They're well over 3 goals a game against. They're allowing the second most shots that they've ever allowed under Mike Sullivan in his tenure in Pittsburgh. So the defense isn't up to snuff. It's even less up to snuff now with these AHL faces being in the mix. And they, even on a night whenever they only give up 21 shots, of those 21 shots, I would say, I think they had 6 high danger chances last night, and Mike Pursuta is somewhere rolling his eyes that I pointed that out because it's not his standard that we're using. We're using natural stat trick. And the scoring chances, I think, were 12 of those 18 or 21 shots. So when you look at that, that is not a lot of shots against, but you're asking your goaltending to do an awful lot, and it's more than they're capable of doing at this point, Tim. So all of that together makes for a really an elixir of ugliness for the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Elixir of ugliness sounds like a good album that we should see from a band at Sonic Temple if this goes the wrong way for the Penguins.
I think you're right. I'd buy that album.
I'd buy that drink.
Let's have an elixir of ugliness along while we watch and listen to Elixir of Ugliness on the side stage.
Mets, thanks. I appreciate it. We'll do it again next week.
Sounds good, my friend. Thanks for this. I appreciate it as always.
All right, so my thanks to Brian Metzer of the Pittsburgh Penguins Radio Network. The Penguins in Denver next to play the Avalanche tomorrow. And the Pens are +155 underdogs as I check the Bet Rivers app. Colorado -190 favorites. And the way I view that situation right now, I'm not betting on the Penguins. I don't know if you like the 190 line for the Avs, but maybe see what the puck line is, if that's more to your liking. But I'm certainly not going with the Penguins, and I wouldn't even be tempted on the puck line either. All right, let's get to some Steelers conversation before we go. Mike Tomlin, Omar Khan, they stopped at the Iowa Pro Day to check out some draft prospects. As Dale Lally of Steelers.com points out, that's not a usual stop for the Steelers on their Pro Day tour. A couple of Iowa players stand out as potential targets on the Steelers. One of them is highly coveted 6'5", 275-pound defensive lineman Lucas Van Ness. He totaled 13 sacks over his last 2 years at Iowa. In the latest CBS mock draft, he is projected to go 12th overall to the Houston Texans. Jack Campbell may be on the Steelers' radar as well. He's projected as a second rounder, a 6'4", 249-pound linebacker. Campbell totaled 265 tackles and 4 interceptions over the past 2 years for Kirk Ferentz's defense. CBS also ranks Iowa's Sam Laporta as the third best tight end in the draft. Kayvon Merriweather, Riley Moss, they're defensive backs that may be under consideration later in the draft as well. Also, despite a standout week at the Senior Bowl, Bowling Green defensive lineman Carl Brooks, he was a snub at the Combine. That didn't stop all 32 teams from RSVPing for his workout at Bowling Green. Steelers defensive line coach Carl Dunbar was the coach who put Brooks through his workout. A 6'3", 300-pound defensive tackle. Over parts of 5 seasons with the Falcons, Brooks totaled 27 sacks. So keep those names in mind for the draft. In the meantime, regarding free agency, the Steelers have signed Patrick Peterson, Landon Roberts, Cole Holcomb, Nate Herbig, and Isaac Seumalo. They also kept DeMonte Casey and Larry Ogunjobi. And Steelers fans are acting like the team has somehow turned over a new leaf or completely switched gears in terms of philosophy when it comes to free agency, because Omar Khan and Andy Weidel are in charge. And I don't see it that way. How is that at all different than their approach last year when they signed Mitch Trubisky, Miles Jack, James Daniels, Mason Cole, and Levi Wallace? I mean, my God, not only is it roughly the same profile and expense for the players, it's the same positions aside from Trubisky. It's one corner, inside linebacker, 2 interior linemen. Oh, and Ogunjobi each year, twice as well. Forgot about him. He was brought on board last season, too. What's the difference? I mean, my God, the false narrative that spun on the internet and on Twitter these days, it's ridiculous. Nothing's changed. And getting 2 second or third tier inside linebackers, a couple of guards, and a replacement for Cam Sutton, to me, that isn't the kind of free agency load that makes me think, oh, okay, they're ready to compete with Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, and Patrick Mahomes right now. You know, the bookmakers don't seem to think so either at Bet Rivers, I can tell you that. The Steelers are still +3,000 to win the AFC and +600 to win the AFC North. In fact, the Steelers' odds have climbed from +450 to win the division since last we spoke. So keep an eye on those numbers as they continue to roll in for the Steelers if you're making futures bets. That will do it for us this week. We will be back next week as we look ahead to the Final Four. Might talk some college hockey as well. Who knows? As we get into the Frozen Four, I'll be in Tampa for that. And we will discuss the latest on the Penguins, too, as they have a tough batch of games coming up here, including Denver, as we talked about, in their first stop to play the Colorado Avalanche when they go out west, then the Dallas Stars. After that, they got Washington around the corner, too. So it's a tough road to hoe for the Penguins. And be careful gambling on them as we move forward towards the end of the regular season. Have a good week, everybody. This is the Pittsburgh CityCast brought to you by Bet Rivers. Download the app today or go to BetRivers.com.
Thanks for listening to the Pittsburgh CityCast on the Bet Rivers Network.